Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. The last days are upon us. But they've been upon us for a long time. The signs are all there. But what are you using those signs for? Are you maybe just ignoring them? Are you following the course of this world and its ways of fear and foreboding, numbing yourself to it all by distraction, or maybe the opposite, being so obsessed with the cares of this life that you're not doing what you should with the signs all around you? Christ has not called you to that way, because that is the way of the unbelievers, and it leads to wrath on the last day. But think of it. What is the world obsessed with? Have you, in your dealings with the world or people around you, heard anything lately about wars or distress of nations? Have you heard anything about fear, about the changes that are happening in the oceans or other matters in the atmosphere, and what is happening, what is coming on the world? Does the world seem perplexed? What are the very signs our Lord Jesus has promised would come? They are right there. They are all around us. That the summer that Jesus speaks of, his return, is coming near. This means that the kingdom of God, that is the rule of God, is coming near. And yes, for some, it will be a day of wrath, a day of their destruction, a day where they will be burnt up like stubble. For others, it will be a day of redemption, a day of salvation, a day when everything will be set right. And what do you use those signs for? Those signs, they can be temptations. There are temptations away from the faith, distractions away from faithful living if you pay the wrong attention to them. That is, of course, living your earthly life with both faith directed to God. This is the proper way, a faithful life of directing your faith towards God, and love directed towards others, the others that God puts actually around you, in your vocations, at home, in the church, and in society or the state. But the world, of course, does not want you to believe in Jesus. It does not want the last day to be your day of salvation, your day of redemption. The world would have you instead distracted by all these other things, with faith not in God, but in the faith in the ways of men. Maybe faith in technology that will save us or save the world. And with love directed really onto yourself at final examination. So worried about everything that you accomplish nothing where God would have you working. If you find yourself with the world on these things of fear, of perplexity, of confusion, of foreboding, of distraction, of so focused on the cares of this life that the next life matters not, repent. That is not how Christ would have you act in your day-to-day life. Christ's advent, his coming, is near. These signs, Jesus tells us, when you see, when these things begin to happen, and when you see these things beginning to happen, you are to look up, you are to straighten up, and raise your heads. That is the language of living by faith in God above. That everything you do, everything God has given you to do, can be done by faith. That true love for the neighbor is done by faith, working through that love. That the text is not telling you to spend all your days absent from the world, but it is telling you to serve in this world while trusting in Christ. To serve in this world while praying, by doing works of love for the sake of the neighbor, with the earnestness of someone who knows what the signs mean for the whole world and all the people in it. That this is faithful living. To straighten up and raise your heads. That Christ is coming. That Malachi describes this in the relationships of fathers to children and children to fathers. That St. Paul in many places describes this in terms of abounding in love for one another and for all while we wait. With Christians, as he says in the epistle lesson today, living in harmony with one another, welcoming one another. He speaks of this time being one of waiting, but waiting while doing, but also waiting while receiving the Word of God faithfully. Because that Word of God endures beyond anything of this creation, even heaven and earth itself. That the Word will bring the wicked to ruin. The Word which is given for our instruction, that by the Word of instruction, that is God's Word, you would endure and be encouraged and have hope. But that's it. In the face of all the fearfulness of the world and all that is coming upon the world, what fills the news and public conversation, in the face of all of that stubble, we are directed to the Word, especially today the Word of Christ, that the coming day, the great and awesome day of the Lord, is the day of your redemption. This is not a fearful thing. It's not about foreboding. It's a hopeful thing. It's not worrisome toil for the things that will be nothing, but redemption. That the Word of God, which tells us about these signs hundreds and thousands of years before they happen, the Word of God instructs you about what Christ's coming means for you as Christians. That His coming in the second time is in some ways like the first. That as Hebrews puts it, Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. That the day of redemption comes, and it is a day of salvation. That all of the work of Christ in dying in order to have the forgiveness of sins, your forgiveness of your sins, will be fully visible on that last day. Fully revealed. That what we have been taught to believe will fully be seen. That what Scripture has taught us to hope for will finally come to pass. And the greatness and the goodness of this news is that we are not alone in this task of enduring, of waiting, of hoping, of straightening up. No. Christ has not left us as orphans. That throughout the Scriptures, the Word, especially at the beginning of the epistles, Christians are being reminded of God's work of keeping us as we wait. So 1 Corinthians 1 says that our Lord Jesus Christ will sustain you and to the end guiltless in His day. That God is faithful by whom you are called into the fellowship of His Son. That 1 Thessalonians 1 teaches us that we have been set free from our idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. The last day for the Christian does not mean wrath, but redemption, which means for you, the last day does not mean judgment and wrath, but redemption. So St. Paul says again in Philippians chapter 1, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, of course, Jesus says it today in our gospel lesson. In his final admonition to stay awake, to pray that you would be found worthy or having strength enough to escape the things coming, to stand before the Son of Man. That through this, Jesus is speaking in the passive tense. That these are things which God does in us. That you would think not that you are on your own to work these things out by whatever strength you muster. That no, not only has Christ made sure that all of your sins have been paid for and are forgiven, but that Christ our Lord has also sent you a helper, a comforter, the Holy Spirit who works in you. That it is his power that sustains you in the true faith and makes you to endure and helps you be worthy to stand before the Son of Man. This is, in fact, why we gather to be around the Word of God, the Word which outlasts even heaven and earth. That Word is the Word that the Spirit uses to help us to stand, to endure, to be encouraged, to have hope. It is that Word which instructs us about all that God has said, all that God has done, which then brings us all of our hope. And along with that hope, then that Word brings us joy and peace in believing. For knowing that Christ comes for our redemption, well, that helps you to endure whatever you're enduring. Knowing that Christ comes for your redemption encourages you. Every time of struggle, every time of suffering that might befall you on this earth, that it is brief. It has an end. It encourages you that as the wickedness of the world seems to be gaining so much ground and so much power, that all of its efforts are running headlong right into their own destruction. That our Lord Jesus Christ will end all of that on the last. And suddenly and quickly, there won't even be a fight. That Christ and his return is a day of good things. And hearing that word helps give us hope. And by trusting that word, trusting that promise from God, then you can have joy even now, especially now, in the midst of whatever trials or tribulations you must go through for a time. Because God's word is true. And God's word speaks of things to come for you, and those things it speaks of are good for you, great for you, better things than you've ever known in this life. And this hope not only has joy, but it also adds peace. For the hope that we have in Christ is anchored in what Christ has already done for us in dying for us in his first coming, being raised for our justification, shedding his blood that all of our sins would be blotted out by the work of this Lamb of God. That we are at peace with God, and we have peace with God, and we have the peace that surpasses all understanding from God. It is a peace that the world cannot understand because the world cannot imagine it. That the world is too worried about everything going on around us to even ponder the word of our Lord. But let it not be so among you. When you hear of the signs, and it doesn't take long listening to any news, reading any news, talking to your friends and neighbors and even family members to hear the signs, believe the word about the signs. That Christ comes. And that day is going to be a great and awesome day. That the wicked will be put away. God will make right. And the faithful who have been made to endure, who have been encouraged along this way with the word of hope and joy and peace, that day is a day of redemption. And you are to believe these things and put your trust in them and do what God has given to you to do while it is day before the night comes when no one can work. That the day that is coming is your redemption. That you may live now with that hope. That you may live now knowing that redemption is so secure and that it is coming soon, that you can love others. You can live in harmony with them. You can pray. You can endure alongside of them, encouraging one another with the very words and promises that God has given us, especially those words that have come to us through Jesus Christ. And let not the worries of this world be the focus of your devotion, your attention, even your conversation with others. But let the word that will outlast all of it, be in your heart by way of your ears, be before your eyes, and be spoken by your mouth to all those around you. Now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.